Last week, just to sum up in brief, we discussed the basis for building an area. The basis for building an area essentially are that wherever you have something which doesn't meet the parameters of Rishus HaRabim, all that is required to make make an Eruv is an enclosure of any sort, be it a fence or a wall or such like, or, as we are prone to do, an enclosure of a Tura Tapeta, meaning one takes two poles and puts a string across the top and thus encloses one's area. And one thus has a Rishus HaYachid in which one may carry. Right? We said, Mida Raisa Rishus HaYachid is any area which is not a Rishus HaRabim. Mida Rabbanon, even an area which doesn't meet the parameters of a classic Rishus HaRabim, nonetheless requires enclosure. And that enclosure is created, again, either by a fence or wall or by a Tura Tapeta. Now, we mentioned that there's a very important exception to that rule. The very important exception to the rule is where I have a classic Rishus HaRabim. However, we define that, and we'll get into that in a few minutes. A classic Rishus HaRabim, a classic public domain, cannot simply be enclosed by a Tura Tapeta, by my two poles with a string across the top. In order to enclose a classic Rishus HaRabim, I must have, at the very least, drossos. I must have, at the very least, doors. What shape those doors have to take is a question of and of itself. We mentioned last week that the doors might in fact be parts, might be pieces of canvas which you would string across the a light pole, so to speak. You take a light pole over here. Take a light pole over here. And a light pole over here, and you could wrap tarps around the light pole over here, a light pole over here, and you might be able to, of course, you would have your line across the top, and you would once or twice a year run these tarps across the street, close them, and that might be considered to be sufficient to be blossos in and of themselves, right? In fact, some poskim hold blossos must be closed every night. But in most cities where glossos are utilized, they're utilized in a way that they're wrapped around the poles most of the year, and they close them like once a year for a few moments while the light is red in the midst, in the deepest part of night, when they hope people will notice them and carry them away. And that's how we use glossos in order to fix our Rishus HaRabim. Okay, now the question is... they must be there all the time. You can't remove the tarps. Now, the question is, what exactly constitutes a Rishus HaRabim? So, in order to see that, we'll have to follow through a few shittos. If you take a look at the thicker handout, the four-page handout, then you will see that it begins on the first page in the English, taken from Rav Shimon Eider. We have there two on the left-hand side. Rishus HaRabim is a public domain, a street, highway, thoroughfare, or public square frequented by the public, having a width of not less than 16 amos, approximately 28 feet, unroofed, with no obstruction to traffic at either end. Some folks who do not consider an area to be a public domain are less frequented by or is capable of being frequented by 600,000 people. In other words, to exclude narrow streets and streets inaccessible to the public, to public thoroughfares or communities with smaller populations. But many poskim disagree. All right, this is a major machlokas right off the bat. This is essentially a machlokas between the Rambam and Tosfos, and then the Achronim lineup of the Rishonim, which rather rally around the flag of each of these Rishonim. The Rambam holds the only prerequisite for a street to be considered to be Rishus HaRabim is 28 feet wide. The moment you have streets is 28 feet wide, as long as it's not a dead end, it goes straight. And then it's considered to have, straight through, it's considered to have the halacha of Rishus HaRabim. Tosfos holds that in order to be considered Rishus HaRabim, not only does that be 28 feet wide, but it has to have something to do with 600,000 people. To what extent, we'll discuss in a few moments. But there must be something to do with 600,000 people in that street. Okay, that is Machlokas Rambam and Tosfos. Now, each one of the Achronim goes to the sugya, attempts to pile up lists and try and figure out what Shita more Rishonim hold like. And some Achronim come out with the statement that most Achrim Rishonim hold that all you require is 28 feet. Other Achronim come out with a statement that most Rishonim hold that all you require also Shishim Rebo. That they're constantly discovering new Rishonim. So they're constantly adding new people to the list in either direction. So it's really hard to pass in the Shaila on the basis of Rov. Although some posts have attempted to do so, it's very hard. Because you never know what exactly the Rov is. And besides that, you have to take into account the respective weight of each Rishon, how much weight his opinion bears in halacha. So, the 16 amos, like the 600,000, is taken from the width of the highways in which the Bnei Yisrael would travel in the desert. And the 600,000 is the amount of Bnei Yisrael, which is mentioned, in fact, in the Torah. The 16 amos is figured out by the Gemara in Shabbos as being the width of the highway based on the width of the wagons of the Levim that they would traverse when traveling. So that is considered to be the minimum dimension of Rishus HaRabim.
Therefore, Kimat every street in the city should probably be Rishus.
According to those Rishonim, right. Kimat every street in the city would be Rishus HaRabim, except possibly the alleyways. The alleyways, I don't think, are 28 feet wide.
Many of the streets don't cut through. You have to have one that cuts through.
Right, you have to have a street which is Mefulash, that's right. You have to have...
We'll discuss it. Go from one end of the city to the other.
That's not so simple. We'll discuss that. We'll discuss that in a few minutes. Okay. Now, if we go a little bit further in this handout, down to where you have Mishnah Berurah, that's on the third page of the handout, then we'll just review that he brings down in Sif Katan Chav Gimel, Mishnah Berurah's underlined. He brings down Ulinin Alocha in terms of Psak Alocha, Midas HaMechaber, from the opinion of the Mechaber, the Kosav Deyazu B'Shem Yeshomrim, who wrote the opinion, which is in the underlined on top. Yesh Omrim Shekoshen Shishim Riva Orimbo B'Chol Yom. Any street in which 600,000 people do not pass each day is not a Rishus HaRabim. Not considered to be Rishus HaRabim. So the Ina welcome me again, Midas HaMechaber. From the opinion of the Mechaber, the cause of Deus who wrote Hashem Yesh Omrim, who wrote this opinion only in the name of a Yesh Omrim, Mashma, it seems to indicate, the La Locha Lo Sfiro Lekein. La Locha, the Mechaber, Rabbi Yosef Karo, does not hold of this opinion. Rather, he holds that 28 feet is sufficient to constitute a Rishus HaRabim. Umikomakom, nonetheless, Ein Bonukach Limchos, we do not have the power to protest the Yad HaSomchim HaDeyazu against those who rely on this opinion. The Deyazu Gapke Lo Dey Yechidas Yechidai. Are people having trouble finding this in the handouts? Does everybody have a place, more or less? Okay, that, nonetheless, since this opinion is not... Yeah, there are two. Okay, but this and this. We're on the third page of this handout. Okay. The Kemosha Kasati Bi Alocha, the Chain Tzidulu Kam Achronim, and several Achronim have learned that one requires Shishim Rebo, the Chol Baal Nefesh Yachmil Asmo, and anybody who is a medaktik, a mitzvah, somebody who wants to uphold the Torah very conscientiously, should be machmir for himself, but he cannot protest against the community building an Erev under these circumstances. So, in fact, what's going on here is that the Mechaber is paskining, the Mechaber's psak is not clear. However, the Shulchan Aruch is saying that anybody who wants to be machmir must be machmir for himself and not machmir for the community. Now let's take a look at the Mechaber himself. What does the Mechaber himself say? The Yesh Omrim, Shekoshe and Shishim Riva Orimbo, anytime when there aren't 600,000 people passing by, Echol Yom, every day, Ein Rishus HaRabim, that is not considered to be Rishus HaRabim. Now the Mechaber's lesson is quite clear. Rabbi Yosef Karo is writing that it has to be 600,000 people each and every day. If it isn't 600,000 people each and every day, that is not considered to be Rishus HaRabim. Most poskim do not bring down that requirement. Most poskim don't hold that literally the street has to hold 600,000 people every day. Most poskim hold that theoretically the street has to be suitable to carry 600,000 people. However, it doesn't have to carry 600,000 people every day, perhaps not even once or twice a year. But if it's a street which can hold the volume of 600,000 people and is likely to hold the volume of 600,000 people, that is sufficient for it to constitute a Rishus HaRabim. You don't need anything more than that.
600,000 people means in the course of a day or at one time the whole length?
In the course of a day.
In the course of a day.
In the course of a 24-hour period. That's what would be required. Okay, so again, we have, these two opinions. We have the opinion that holds that literally you need 600,000 people to eat it every day in order to constitute Shul Sarabim, and the other opinion which holds you only need 600,000 people on occasion, perhaps never, but it has to be a street which can hold 600,000 people. Now, obviously, the example, for some reason, this is an example everybody cites in Chicago. The example cited by everybody is Western. I don't know, I've never traversed the length and breadth of Western, but I assume that Western, from what people say, is long enough that even if it doesn't actually have 600,000 people, it could theoretically hold 600,000 people. Okay, I guess that's why that street is always cited.
State Street doesn't go to Madison.
Okay, so that would meet the requirement of 600,000, perhaps even according to the Machaber, even according to those who require 600,000, since we say B'chol Yom doesn't necessarily mean every day, but rather on occasion, or perhaps even that it can carry the volume of 600,000, perhaps a street like Western would be sufficient. Now, important to remember, we'll see this later on tonight, all this applies only to streets within a city. Streets which are not in a city, what do we mean by that? A highway. A highway does not require 600,000. If you have, let's say, we mentioned this last week, perhaps the example, even a street like Milwaukee, which originally was the highway from Chicago to Milwaukee, although it's broken up by traffic lights, nonetheless might be considered very well to be considered an intercity highway. Therefore, the requirement of 600,000 does not apply to that street. Something like the Edens most definitely doesn't require 600,000. It may well have potential carry 600,000, but even if it did not, that would still be considered to constitute a street which is a Shul Sarabim, even if it did not have the 600,000.
Is that either within the city's limits or just outside of the city?
Even within the city's limits if it passes through. Okay, it's a highway. The parameter is a highway which goes from city to city.
What's the reason?
What is the reason? Most of the postkin were announced that that 600,000 can't. They have difficulty, the postkin. They say 600,000 can't be a requirement on every single street in the world because then there was never a Shul Sarabim. Except for Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, where you had people concentrating into such a small area, only in that case would there ever been a Shul Sarabim in history, up to very recent times. They say it's not possible. Please don't disturb us now. It's not possible at this point. Can you please not disturb? Can you please walk out? No. Can you please walk out now? We are very busy. So the 600,000 people would not be found in one place except in the Torah, because great concentration which exists in the desert. So how could the Torah wrote all these halachos of Totsah, of taking from one Rishus to another Rishus, just for the time when the Nesor were all together in the desert? So they say it's obvious that the requirement of 600,000 only applies to within cities, not highways. Highways, a sratio uplatio, which are high, or sratio actually, a platio is a plaza or something else. A sratio, which is a highway which goes from city to city, they learn, does not require 600,000. Now you might say, well, the Gemara wasn't mechalik. The Gemara never made that distinction. So how can that Rishonim and Achronim make this distinction? The truth is, though, the Gemara never mentioned 600,000 either. This entire distinction is a distinction made in the Rishonim. Now we rely on Rishonim and Paskei and Halacha in all matters. All the Rishonim are, their words are as sacred and as acceptable, as solid by us as if it was stated in the Gemara itself. But then if the Rishonim come and create the dichotomy between intra-city and inter-city, then we have to accept that dichotomy too. So therefore the highways don't require 600,000. And again, I'm not sure. A street which was originally a highway between cities, I don't know if later on it loses its status. Perhaps yes, perhaps no. I'm not aware of anybody who discusses that actual question. Okay, so this is, however, within a city, the parameters of 600,000 do apply. What exactly is the parameter of 600,000? We discussed two shitas. Now, however, we come to a third shita. Again, to recapitulate, one shita that is 600,000 every day, one that is 600,000 on occasion. Both these shitas take into account the 24-hour time period. But now we come to the third shita, which is the basis for the chumrah, which people like Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik, who are knowing in Chicago, it's the chumrah which comes from Rabbi Moshe Feinstein.
The Rambam is just not taken into account?
Because the Mishnah says we can't, even those who want to be machmir like the Rambam cannot be mocha against those who don't want to rely on the Rambam and build an eruv. So the Chumrah, which is applied to cities like Chicago, is not one which is based on the Rambam. We don't apply that Chumrah. Okay? But rather, the Chumrah is based on Rav Moshe Feinstein, and Rav Moshe Feinstein you'll find in the last page of the first handout, and then we're going to see more or less the same thing in the first page of the second handout. Rav Moshe wrote a page which looks like this, as a Reish Lam Ches in the upper right hand corner. Rav Moshe wrote a tshuva in the late 50s concerning Manhattan. There's a fellow, just to go over it briefly, is a fellow by the name of Rav Tzvi Hirsch Eisenstadt, and a few other Talmidei Chachamim who proposed to be matir an eruv around Manhattan and carrying Manhattan based on the sea walls which surround Manhattan. And in fact, there is a letter signed by five rabbonim. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's Rabbis Jung, Lukstein, Riskin, Lamb, and one other one whose name escapes me at the moment, that rely on the fact that Manhattan is surrounded by seawalls to be matir carrying Manhattan. And if you walk in Manhattan on a Shabbos, you will find that there are occasionally baby carriages pushed by people with yarmulkes in Manhattan. Now, I must tell you, in all honesty, if you do go to Manhattan and you use a baby carriage, then you are probably being transgressing severe Yisurim. But that is simply because the Eruv around Manhattan has not been checked since 1962, when Rabbi Eisenstadt died. So the last 30-some-odd years they've been lying on Chazaka, which obviously is overly long time. But Rav Moshe has a truth concerning Manhattan, in which he says he doesn't think the Eruv around Manhattan is good. However, or the possibility, he doesn't think there's a possibility of erecting a kosher eruv around Manhattan, but his lush in the tshuva is, those people, there are Talmidei Chachamim of great stature who want to build the eruv, who hold that the eruv is a good eruv, they're entitled to build the eruv if they so desire. He's not going to protest or go against those Talmidei Chachamim who are going to build the eruv. However, he says, I have a chiddush in Hilchos Eruvin, which will not have a ramification on Manhattan, but nonetheless it might have ramification in future cases, and in fact, 15 years down the line, it had a ramification in Flatbush. Okay, this is, and here you'll see, in the underlined areas, you have, for instance, to begin with, he says in Anav Hey, Abba B'inyan, before, we'll just start from the beginning of the paragraph, Abba B'inyan Shishimibo, in the matter of 600,000, Nira Lani Uzaiti Dor Chodesh. He wants to say a new thing, a Chiddush, V'hu Nachom, and it's correct Chiddush, U'mukra, and one must say it. The Holy Chorot Tamua, it's difficult. Masha Mechaber B'simon Shin Mem Hey, the Mechaber and Simon Shin Mem Hey Sim Zayin Kotav wrote B'shita Sayesh Omri, Shekol She'ein Shishim Riva Omrim B'chol Yom, any place where you don't have 600,000 people going every day, and Rosh Hashanah Rabbi. Olo Nimtzo Loshem Zeh B'divrei Baal Yeshita Zu. It never says that in the Rishonim from which the Shita has been developed. Ella Sheyu Shom Ba'ir Shishim Riva. All it says that there has to be there in the city 600,000. Kid Isa B'Rashi Eruvin Davvav. Like it says in Rashi and Eruvin Davvav. I'll read you the Loshem of Rashi. He quotes it actually here verbatim, but Osios Nachimos always a good looking sight. I know that's a Rashi Osios. So Rashi writes here that Rishus Rabbi, Mashma Rochav Sheshet Sari Amo, 16 Amos wide, V'ir Shemetsuyim Boshishim Rabo. And a city in which 600,000 people are to be found. Vein b'chol, one has no war. Now, what does that mean, Yir Shemetzuyim b'Shishim Riva? How would you explain those words? Let's say you're a Moshe Feinstein approaching those words. Or even not a Moshe Feinstein approaching those words. How would you explain that? A population of 600,000. So what does that mean? You don't need 600,000 people in any one street at any one time. Any city which has a population of 600,000 is already considered by this definition to be Rishus HaRabi. That's a real problem. Many cities have population 600,000. The even greater problem is history. We know that many cities in Europe have population 600,000. Millions perhaps they didn't have, but 600,000 they had. Cities like Warsaw, maybe even Vilna, they had Eruvin. So how did they build Eruvin in cities like Warsaw and Vilna?
Go around the entire town.
A great deal, in Warsaw especially, the Eruv went around a great deal of the town because so much of the city was Jewish. Yes. So you have to realize you had cities in which, you know, over 50% of the people in the city, the inhabitants, were Jewish in Poland and in Lithuania. So, yeah, the Arab would cover a great deal of ground. So that will cause the difficulties, which we'll address in a few moments, or Moshe, rather, will address in a few moments. In the meantime, let's go a little bit further. Kiri Isa Barashi Erebin Davvav, Shekotav, who writes, Rishus HaRabim, Mashma, Rochav Tezayin Amo, V'irshem Tzim Boshishim Rivo, V'cheinu Barosh, Shon, Tzotus in the Rosh, V'gam Daf Nuntes, Kotav Rashi, Sach HaShishim Rivo, Rakha Ha'ir. 600,000 applies only to the city, not to any particular streets. We'll skip down a little bit to where the next on the line is. The im hayaba ir shishim ribo bokim. If there's 600,000 people in the street, av shalom b'chol mobi yomobi, even though it's not in each and every street, hayukolam evos harachavos tezayin ama, any street in that city, which is 16 amas, 28 feet wide, is considered to be Rishus HaRabim. Would you like that?
Go ahead.
He goes on. We're going to see a few of the chiddushim brings down here. The next on the line, umisvara nitmeh, and it seems also to make sense to Rav Moshe. Shaf yosh einbad to shavim shishim ribo. There aren't 600,000 inhabitants. Aber tziruf iman ichnosim tocha. If you take into account the commuters who commute into the city each and every day, b'chol yom yesh shishim ribo, nami havi Rishus HaRabim. That also makes him to Rishus HaRabim. The Mishnah, what's the difference? Why do they have to live there? They just have to be present in the city. So when you take into account people who commute into the city, you have 600,000, that already makes your city into Rishus HaRabim. Okay? And let's go to the next on the line. V'lachein ani omer, therefore I say, Shavadai Sagi Bezeh Sheyesh Nam Ba'ir, Ulechol HaYotu Sheyesh Nam Barachovos. In the lines which we just skipped, Rav Moshe said, perhaps it doesn't go by all the people, by the people in the city, per se, the inhabitants of the city, which would be a big chumrah, but rather by the people who are in the street. In other words, even if you have 600,000 inhabitants, not all of them are going to be in the street at any one time. Rav Moshe in the Tshuva on Flatbush, which we'll see in a few moments, says it makes sense to him that to say perhaps the ratio is 4 or 5 to 1. In other words, for every 4 or 5 people you have inside the house, inside buildings, you have one person in the street. So therefore, in order to achieve 600,000 people in all the streets of the city at any given time, you're going to have how many people in the city? 2.5 to 3 million. That's what's going to make your city into Rishus HaRabim. So there, l'chol yosher sheish nam b'chol v'skol yosher shishim ribo, sheze havi k'mo b'midbar, ma'machaneh. That's like it was in the midbar, in the machaneh. Now, says Rav Moshe, an important point here, again, based on a different Rashi, which he found in Shabbat Daf Tzadikvav, in Erev Daf Tzadikvav, he said that in the entire machaneh Yisrael, in the midbar, the entire machaneh Yisrael was a Rishus HaRabim. And that is where we derive the Shishim Ribo from. By the way, Rav Moshe is thus answering a difficulty, very important difficulty. We know 600,000 people don't include women and children. So 600,000 seems to be a very arbitrary number. So it says Rav Moshe, according to my explanation, makes a lot of sense. Because according to my explanation, 600,000 means the people who were present in the streets. If you take into account the families as a whole, and you assume that these are the people who would be present in the streets, then that makes sense. The ratio, perhaps there are 3 million Jews in the desert, 1/5 or so of them at any given time would be found in the streets of Machaneh Yisrael. That's why the Machaneh Yisrael, the encampment of Israel in the desert, was considered to be Rishus HaRabim, because of this reason. This Rashi, which appears several times in Shas, where he says, "Ir shem tzuyim ba shishim ribo," a city which in the streets of the city. That's correct. Right. That is like the midbar and the machaneh. And then Rav Moshe goes on to mention the dichotomy between within the city, where you require 600,000, and on the highways, where you don't require 600,000, which I already mentioned. Okay? Now, this, again, this tuba was written in the late 50s, early 60s. I forget the exact date. This because when this whole thing was not Lemaisa, because in Manhattan, there aren't that many people in the streets. So this whole issue was not Lemaisa. Several years later, this issue did become Lemaisa in Flatbush.
Why are there not that many people on the streets in Manhattan? More people.
Manhattan never has 3 million people on the island. Even at the height of the business day, there aren't that many inhabitants of Manhattan, and there aren't that many commuters who come into Manhattan to make 3 million people. At least when Rav Moshe wrote the Tshuva, he held it wasn't applicable to Manhattan. Okay? Besides that, still, even if it would be applicable, Rav Moshe writes, those who are Makir, we were relying on walls. And walls, even if there are 600,000 people within the city, can 600,000 people mitsuyim in the streets of the city, so the walls can close it off and make it considered to be a Rishus HaYochid nonetheless. Okay, the fact that it's surrounded by walls overcomes the problem that you have 600,000 people. Walls are like the doors. Doors and walls are linked. A Tzuras HaPesach wouldn't work, because the Tzuras HaPesach cannot enclose a classic Rishus HaRabi. But walls, as much as doors, can work. So if you rely on the fact that there are retaining walls around the entire city of Manhattan, which held back the East River, the Hudson River, as those people who wanted to maintain that one is the last county of Manhattan did in fact maintain, then, in fact, the walls would overcome the problem of 600,000 people. Okay? Now, again, as I'm...
What were you worrying about, the fact that there are no longer any walls around? Did you say that the people do care?
Yes, if the walls, he wrote it in one spot, then the whole layer was no good. That's the problem.
But I assume the retaining walls are still retaining.
No, not necessarily so. If there's a pier somewhere which eroded over time, which many have done, this is the fiscal situation of the city of New York, so there, then you're stuck. Your area has been, nullified.
You're foolish.
Right. Okay. Now, let's come to Flatbush. That's the first page of the second handout. Din Erev of Flatbush. First, Rav Moshe chazes us over Shita. On the first area where it's on the line. Abel Be'ir, who Rishus HaRabim B'zeh She'esh Nambay Yer Shish Milo. In a city, it becomes Rishus HaRabim in the fact that the city has 600,000 people. V'yesh L'Hakel, one can be made on Rav Moshe Svara. Shu She'yu B'rchul Cholos Kola Ir, that this includes the streets of the entire city. Kola Eis, Shadarko Shal Inche Lotzis Mebaseim, at all times, the people who normally leave their houses, Shrikim L'Eis Adobar, when they require something, Shishim Ribo. Okay? Av Shebechol Rechol Rechol Zvonim Tzula Pachos Arbe. Even though in each and every street there are much less than this, Bav Shem Ovin Cloud, and even if you don't find a street, let's say you find an isolated avenue in Flatbush which doesn't have any people walking on it normally, nonetheless, Nishanim Tzubrachobos, Bav Shem Ovin Cloud, Nishanim Tzubrachobos, if Hurish Shusarabim, once it's among these streets, it becomes Shusarabim, even Mesha Kolar Chobos, if all the streets taken together, Hem Besach Shishimriba. That we already saw. Abol, I'm skipping down to the next underline. Yesh Lo, see, here comes the important caveat. The Hubba Shetach here, Ziyud Beit Mil, Ayud Beit Mil. This must be within an area of 12 mil on 12 mil. Now, as those of you who haven't looked at the next line, where would we learn out the 12 mil on 12 mil from? The Machane and the Midbar. The encampment of the Nesra on the Midbar was 12 mil by 12 mil, which is approximately, a mil is 2,000 amos, which is a little, more or less a kilometer. So this is approximately 8 miles by 8 miles, 64 square miles. Okay? Came the opinion of Mikhail, call me Digle Midbar. Who came to Brooklyn, show Ir Achas Mele Uchlusin. It's one city full of population. Maybe it's more than 12 mil or 12 mil. So if Lemo Gamosho Flatbush, you have to estimate, for instance, Flatbush. Shem Shechas Yachadim Brooklyn, Yud Beit Mil, which together with Brooklyn, I'm not saying Rav Moshe wasn't sure about the municipal names here, but Flatbush is part of Brooklyn, but I guess he was learning that Flatbush is one section and Brooklyn is another section, but in any event, you have to take everything into account there. So if Lemo Gamosho Flatbush, Shem Shechas Yachadim Brooklyn, Yud Beit Mil, Mayhem, if there are enough people within that area, so many, that in all the streets taken together, these 12 mil, that makes it Rishus HaRabim Gemurah. Even those who require 600,000 in order to make some of the Nogin Kumosam and have knowing like them. Either 1 to 4 or 1 to 5 in chainim to be a cholos. Shasach Chazer Hayu Ben Midbar. And then explains that that's the way it was in Midbar, etc. And then again later on, with some line again, he brings down that he has to take into account commuters. So what we see in this tumor, Ramosha has three truths about Flatbush, and in Flatbush he comes out firmly that it's also to build an Eidol. Says Manhattan is different, either because of the walls or because the population is not as dense, but in Brooklyn there is no way to build an Eidol. Now there is an Eidol standing in Flatbush. The Eidol was built by Rav Menashe Klein. Rav Menashe Klein is a Beit HaMelachah, and he obviously holds that, like literal interpretation of the Mechaber, that 600,000 people must be present in any street, at any given, in the specific street which you're dealing with, in order to make into a Shusha Rabbi. The major question, though, obviously, even according to Rav Menashe Klein, is Ocean Parkway. Ocean Parkway is a major thoroughfare. It cuts completely north to south across Brooklyn, and it might have a bit of a highway. Rav Menashe Klein, nonetheless, one has used a few svaros that Rav Moshe dismisses very vehemently. And they are svaros which are difficult to hear. The svaros which he uses are that in the Midbar, they didn't travel in cars. So when we count 600,000 people, we only count pedestrians. Furthermore, in the Midbar, there were no traffic lights. Traffic was never obstructed. Therefore, obstructions disrupt the obstructions of traffic lights, break up the Rosh Hashanah. We don't accept Rav Menashe Klein's svaros in either of these two statements. We assume that even if they're people are traveling in cars, it makes no difference. In the Midbar, they might have well traveled in wagons. In any event, it doesn't say anything about pedestrians, wagons, wagon drivers, no dichotomy ever stated. Furthermore, the fact that traffic lights stop people every once in a while doesn't mean that you have to stop. You can always run the traffic light. And besides that, even if you do stop occasionally, in the Midbar, it's entirely possible that they stopped occasionally too. So we don't accept either of these svaras in limiting what the extent of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is. However, he did rely on this svara in building his Eruv, and therefore he held that Ocean Park would not be a problem.
So nothing about that, then the Flatbush Eruv would be no good.
Excuse me?
Not bad. If you don't accept his svara,
right,
then the Eruv that he built should be no good.
That's correct. But he built it because he holds those svaras. Right. Yeah. Okay, so the Eruv in Flatbush is therefore... Yeah.
Doesn't anybody say that one only looks at the area that you're trying to open up with the camera?
No. Because that's totally arbitrary.
But it's the only thing that you're looking to make
everything
say, oh,
if you want to set up shop, let's say you wanted to set up an Eruv in the middle of the Eden, you would just be creating arbitrary walls which don't have any actual geographical validity.
Yeah, that's a highway, and that's,
but wherever you want,
maybe that has a different name because it's a highway. But I mean, let's just say you take a neighborhood like this neighborhood.
That local that say when you have masses who have trucks on both sides of your Turas HaPesach, then that nullifies the Turas HaPesach. They, in the case where they're robbing masses of Shishim Rebo going back and forth through your Turas HaPesach, the Turas HaPesach is null and void.
But let's say you took hours to truly attending to California.
Won't make a difference by your question. In other words, we have an area of twelve mil. Let's assume for a moment that Chicago does have such an area, which is what the people who don't want an area of Chicago assume, which is probably correct. That you have 600,000 people in this block of 12 mil by 12 mil, right? So any place within this block of 12 mil by 12 mil, they're going to have the halakha of Asi Rabbi Balu Mechitza, because they go back and forth in all directions within the 12 mil. So you cannot set up any area here and say, well, this is my area. Because the rabbins are not limited. They can go back and forth.
But they don't.
Sure they do.
No.
Not 600,000 people, but remember, Quincy Ramosha Shita,
that you don't need 600,000 people in any specific street. As long as some people have access to that street and they are part of a mass of 600,000 people within 12 miles, that's sufficient.
But that's what I'm asking. You know, why does that have to be? Why is that?
Why does everybody hold that way?
I mean, you're only looking at the whole point.
Are you asking at a principle of Hashi Rami Bhattan source application? So I think that your problem is with the Din D'Rabbanan, not with the application. So the Din D'Rabbanan, although we might have difficulty with it, we're not entitled to abrogate. We have to accept it. So therefore, we couldn't build an Eruv in this area of 12 mil by 12 mil, anywhere in this area. Yeah.
Where do you draw the square?
Okay,
Reb
Moshe said,
middle of the enclosed area?
No, Reb Moshe said obviously the square must be limited by geographical reality, but in theory you can draw it in any direction to be machmir.
To be
machmir? Yes.
Not to be
going to be a problem.
Are there any?
However, there is a cooler which Reb Moshe said. Let me get to that. Reb Moshe said a cooler like this. Reb Moshe said, it was asked about Oak Park and Southfield in Detroit. And if you look on the self-same page, in fact, it was asked about Kew Gardens. Now, Kew Gardens in New York and Queens, just as Southfield and Oak Park are in Detroit, are within the 12-mile area of being New York or Chicago, whatever city you're dealing with, of Detroit. New York or Detroit, whichever city you're dealing with. So if that's the case, Reb Moshe should surely author an Eruv in Kew Garden or in Southfield and Oak Park. In fact, Reb Moshe was matir both of those areas. Reb Moshe holds that geographical distinctions are valid distinctions in terms of the 12 mil. I can't draw necessarily a line between Brooklyn and Manhattan, including Manhattan in my 12 mil. Reb Moshe is not sure about that. He says he's not sure if the 12 mil area will cross the river. But says Reb Moshe, even if I would hold that the 12 mil area would traverse a river, if the municipal entity is distinct, and that is defined by the fact that commuters go from area A to area B, and not vice versa, then that, this municipal area, can have an area in and of itself. I'll explain. Southfield is a suburb. People commute from the suburb into the city. Now, obviously, they commute back at night. But the point is, people don't commute from, let's say, New York to Kew Gardens. You don't have the people in Manhattan who are going out to work in Kew Gardens. Very few. Very few. The way the flow of traffic works is that people go to work in Manhattan, people don't go to work in Kew Gardens. People go to shop. They go to shop in Manhattan, they don't go to shop in Kew Gardens. The same thing in Detroit. This is very much a true verbatim. If people from Southfield and Oak Park go into Detroit to work to shop, they don't come out to Southfield or Oak Park to work or to shop. So therefore, I don't see a suburb as being part of the metropolitan area under those conditions. Even though, if you go to Detroit, you'll know that there's no geographical distinction between Oak Park and Detroit. The 8 Mile Road runs with the boundary between Detroit and Oak Park. Nonetheless, Reb Moshe says, Oak Park can make an Eruv in and of itself, because, by the way, by Detroit, there's another answer which Reb Moshe mentioned, there aren't 3 million people in the greater metropolitan area. But he says, even were there to be 3 million people, since it's a distinct municipal area in terms of commuting patterns, in terms of travel patterns, therefore they can build their own Eruv. And this clearly...
Government, you're talking about the park itself.
What?
You're talking about government, you're talking about community.
It seems that both.
Distinguish between West Rogers Park and Stoke.
No, it has to be a different municipality.
Why
does that? Because that has to have a different shame. The Acme Park. I can only tell you what Moshe said. They have to have a different shame.
And then when they go in and exit, it loses the day room.
Excuse me?
And then when they decide
that's right. Yes, because part of Chicago. That's correct. I mean, that's what they
what's
the
far there?
What's as far? Because then it's part of the city.
So what?
Because, so then it's part of, if it has to be within the U-based Mathemeal area.
It's all part of the county. I mean, you know, why do you differentiate between Christ
and Christ?
There are so many different elements
of
government.
See, I agree with you. I agree with you, Ms. Farah. But the moment we say that, we're forced to be mocked, not to be made. In other words, you're right. I understand. I understand. Remotion as far as difficult to accept, but if we don't accept it, then we have to be mocked. And this is going to make a lot of difference in the name of such a place like Skokie. So Skokie, if we accept Remotion as far, we can say Skokie is a distinct municipal area, right? People travel from Skokie into Chicago. Very few people travel from Chicago into Skokie in order to shop, in order to work. If we accept Moshe Svara to be Mekel, then we can build an area in Skokie. Whoever is building an area in Skokie can build an area in Skokie. If, however, we don't accept Moshe Svara, then we have to be Mahmoud. We have to assume that in Skokie one cannot build an area.
The fact that people grab it
doesn't mean you cannot build an area.
That's right. Based on Moshe Svara.
The fact that you go from Rogers Park downtown.
Yeah.
People don't
so that's
travel
basically
from downtown
what he was asking.
Right.
That's
right.
Basically what he was asking.
I mean, let someone of a stature, you know, greater than here, says that really Mishwara, the commuting is the here and not
right.
The municipality.
Right.
I mean, then you'd have to think you could apply to a lot of other areas.
That's right. Now, however.
Are you saying the difference? The Kew Garden said was Mutterville an error, but not Brooklyn? Not
the Flatbush. Right. Because there's no difference between Flatbush and any other part of Brooklyn. It's all one big neighborhood. Kew Gardens is a distinct area.
It's not a separate area. It's not a separate government.
I can't explain to you what Ramosha's logic is based on. Again, I have the same difficulty with this juvenile Ramosha. But it's here.
Okay.
Printed, black and white. The other one is not printed in the same, by the way, but it is a letter which was reproduced in the Detroit Aruf Manual. So it's also readily accessible to the public. Well, I do know is that the county of Queens, the borough of Queens does boast in their tourism literature that unlike any other borough in New York City, their neighborhoods are known by their distinct names. In other words, if you write a letter to any neighborhood in Brooklyn, you're going to write Brooklyn. If you write a letter to any neighbor in Manhattan, you're going to write New York, New York. If you write a letter to any neighbor in Queens, you're going to write Far Rockaway, Kew Gardens, Flushing. This is true. I don't know if they very much took that into account, though. In any event, now that we've proposed the difficulty of Ramosha, the question is if there's any way to get around the difficulty posed by Ramosha. And there are, in fact, perhaps ways to get around that. The first thing we have to take into account is that not all Rishonim agree with Rashi, and even that Ramosha's interpretation in Rashi is subject to question. Some parts of most Rishonim hold that Shishim Rivo means literally in one street. Otherwise, the Mechaber would totally misstated himself when he said, Shishim Rivo Bokim B'chol Yom. That's point number one. Point number two is that other of the Rashbam, Rashi's grandson, says that in the desert, there the Rishus HaRabim was only in the Machane Levia, in the encampment of the Levites. Why is that so? Because only in the encampment of the Levites did all 600,000 people come to hear Moshe Rabbeinu Darshan. So therefore, according to the Rashbam, any place else within the encampment was not a Rishus HaRabim, the Raisa. You see from this Rashbam that he holds literally that there must be 600,000 people, in fact, in one place, or at least have the potential to come to one place, in order for that to be considered Rishus HaRabim. So there are Rishonim who differ with Rashi, or perhaps would lend a different interpretation to Rashi himself, were we to, superimpose their Shita on Rashi's Shita. But that in and of itself is not sufficient to be made. Because Rashi is a big man, and Reb Moshe is a big man. Although, not necessarily the same stature, but it's very difficult to argue Reb Moshe. Unless one is of the stature of the Chazon Ish. And here we come to the Chazon Ish Shita, which is a very radical Shita, which in fact is the basis, could serve as the basis for Erevin in large cities. And this is on the last page of the four-page handout. Let me first draw for you on the board the picture which the Chazon Ish has in his sefer as being the diagram which applies to this case.
Thank you.